Nearly 3 years after Canada's worst mass killing, a report looking into the RCMP response has been released. The Mass Casualties Commission report has laid blame on the RCMP's handling of the incident and suggested sweeping police reform. I'm Dave Breckenridge, and this is 10-3. National Post political reporter Ryan Tumulty joins me to discuss where the inquiry found the RCMP failed, what changes it recommends to the National Police Force, and whether there is political will for major reform. Don't forget you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music. I'd love it if you could leave us a rating, a review, and tell your friends about the show. So Ryan, the Mass Casualties Commission released its report into the 2020 mass shooting in Nova Scotia, Canada's worst mass killing. Before we get into the specifics of the report, what specifically was the commission looking into? Was it the shooting itself? Was it the RCMP's response? Was it kind of the whole of the entirety of the incident?
Yeah, it absolutely was. It was everything about the incident. So everything from the RCMP's response to the background of their dealings with the shooter, Gabriel Wortmann, to how they handled alerting the public, how they handled everything about the night in question, really, where this, you know, truly awful massacre took place.
And at the time, and as people may remember, there was a lot of controversy around the response to it. What was the feeling among the public about how the Mounties handled the response to the killings, how the public was notified, and even the resulting investigation?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of concern about how the RCMP handled the situation in question. You know, this is rural Nova Scotia. They did not have a huge amount of resources in play on that evening. So that was obviously one of the concerns. But there were plenty of other concerns that they didn't listen to witnesses in the opening moments and didn't take in the, you know, really important information that Mr. Wortmann was driving around in a replica RCMP cruiser that looked near identical to any other. They didn't take in that information. They didn't share that broadly. In fact, the commission has found now that they seem to have rejected that information, even though it was coming from multiple eyewitnesses. And there's just this general sense that the RCMP weren't acting quick enough. They weren't warning the public quick enough. And that allowed many more people to die.
And when we look at the report's release on Thursday, are those concerns justified? I know that these inquiries tend not to look for blame necessarily, but I imagine there was a lot of responsibility for all of this put at the feet of the RCMP. What were the main findings of the handling of the incident?
Yeah, I mean, the commission really took a look at that RCMP response. And I would say a big chunk of their recommendations is about that RCMP response. So on the night in question, it really found that, like, there was not supervisors who were prepared and ready to handle an incident of this size. You know, they acknowledge how much of a massive challenge this was and how unusual it was to be, you know, pursuing a case in which the shooter looked like one of their own and the challenges there. But they say, you know, it was difficult to get supervisors to the site and they made contradictory decisions once they were there, you know, that they weren't quick enough to shut down large parts of the province and, you know, try to instigate a manhunt. It says that, you know, there were lots of opportunities missed. Says that, you know, many of the Mounties didn't know the specific geography. So, you know, when Wortmann was leaving one small section after his initial shooting, they assumed he was among the dead for a long time because they didn't imagine there was another way for him to go. But it turned out, you know, there was a back road that allowed him back to the highway. And so things like that were in place that, you know, the Mounties were definitely highly criticized for.
I mean, one of the biggest controversies that loomed over this entire inquiry, once we got past the initial investigation, was this idea that there was political interference relating to the releasing of the types of guns used in the killing spree, with the implication that there were, like, federal political ramifications at stake involving strengthening our country's gun laws in the wake of this. Was that noted in the report?
Yeah, that was noted. So this controversy involves the now former RCMP commissioner, Brenda Luckey, who basically had a call with senior people in Nova Scotia and said that she was upset that information about the shooting hadn't been released when she feels it should have been. And that she said at the time that basically they had let her down, that she had made promises to the minister and the prime minister's office that this information would be public. And that, of course, obviously created a whole bunch of real questions about were politicians interfering in an ongoing criminal investigation like that. Basically, what the commission found was, you know, they had an audio recording of this call. But what they found was that while she did make these comments about the benefits to police of the firearms legislation that the liberals were considering, and they found that that was ill-timed and poorly expressed, but they also found that it wasn't partisan and that it didn't indicate any political interference. But they did say that it further led to a deterioration between headquarters in Ottawa and the commanders on the ground in Nova Scotia.
And one of the other things that I was curious about is I remember at the time there was a lot of conversation, I think at first, about, you know, did someone help the shooter, Gabriel Wortman, escape? There were a lot of questions around his common law spouse. And I mean, it eventually came out that he was abusive to her, and a lot of people considered her the first victim of this killer. What exactly did the report say about how the RCMP handled her as a victim or otherwise?
Yeah, they were the commission, I would say, was especially critical of how her name's Lisa Banfield. She was Wortman's spouse, common law spouse, for almost two decades. And the commission was really critical of the way the RCMP handled her part in this. You know, they view her as the first victim. They say she was routinely abused by Wortman, and she was abused on the night of the shooting. You know, the commission paints just a really horrific picture of violence in that household. And that on the night in question, Wortman beat her, handcuffed her, dragged her into that RCMP cruiser. And only when he left that cruiser and went to start a fire at his own house and property, and it appears collect more guns for this rampage, did she manage to sneak out of that car. She had to crawl through that sort of, you know, narrow window in a police cruiser between the back and rear seats and escape into the woods. She stayed there overnight, fearing that he was still around. She developed hypothermia and was severely injured. But, you know, she provided information to the RCMP as soon as she could. And they found that, you know, that was also part of the information that the RCMP didn't act upon quickly. And they said, you know, the RCMP effectively re-victimized her when they charged her criminally for having at one point purchased ammunition that she gave to Wortman.
We'll be right back. You know, there's a lot of issues with the RCMP's response to this, as has been noted by the public, as has been noted by the commission. But I think a lot of people were wondering what kind of recommendations would be coming out of this report. And there are some sweeping suggestions about how the RCMP could function. The report talked about fundamental change to the country's police force. First off, it mentioned an end to training at depot in Saskatchewan. Now, why did they suggest that that should end, and what did it suggest in its place?
Yeah, so depot is you know, the RCMP's main training center, and has been the main training center for over 100 years. And RCMP officers today do a 26-week course at depot and then head out to detachments all over the country. What they say is that's inadequate. That's a model of police training that worked for a different time and doesn't reflect the new challenges that officers face. So instead, they recommend that depot be closed specifically within the next decade, and that it be replaced by a bachelor's degree in policing for officers, a 3-year degree that would be a standard requirement. They recommend not just for the RCMP, but for police forces across the country.
And what about the model of policing regarding the RCMP? I mean, people may be familiar with how RCMP works in Canada, but they may not. Like, as it sits right now, like, when RCMP is doing local policing, they're doing it under contract for a lower level of government, like a province or municipality. What did the report say about contract policing, and why are they recommending any changes to it?
Yeah, I mean, the RCMP is a unique organization, not just in Canada, but sort of globally. You know, the RCMP has jurisdiction with this contract policing at all spectrums of policing in this country. So, you know, nationally, they are in charge of terrorism, political foreign interference, which we've heard a lot about lately. They're in charge of espionage investigations and money laundering investigations. And then they're also in charge of doing traffic stops in rural Saskatchewan because of this contract policing model. And, you know, this report isn't the first one to call that model into question. In Ontario and Quebec, for example, there is a provincial police force. And everywhere else in the country, that sort of provincial police force role is filled by the RCMP, who do it on contract. The concern there is that it's a large organization. It hasn't always been able to meet the needs of those contracts. So, you know, a province might contract for a few hundred police officers, and the RCMP might fall 50 or 60 officers short because it just can't find the resources. And then there's a concern that it's not adaptable to individual jurisdictions. It's a one-size-fits-all model that maybe doesn't make sense in current policing. And so that's the big concern. And that's, I think, something that the commission, you know, the commission didn't quite come right out and say end contract policing. But it did say it might be time to break that up, potentially create new police agencies with different areas of focus to do that contract policing instead of just having a one-size-fits-all RCMP. And it says, you know, while it doesn't say definitely change this, it says, you know, several other reports have recommended that you change this, and we think you should look at them very closely.
Now, were there any recommendations relating to kind of the specifics of the night? I know that, you know, we all know that Gabriel Wortmann was driving around in a decommissioned RCMP cruiser. Were there any recommendations with regard to that, or the way that the RCMP communicates with the public in response to a mass casualty event like this?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely recommendations that the RCMP do a better job of decommissioning police vehicles and police equipment. You know, it is replaced. It is currently sold, although there is a moratorium in place right now in terms of selling it. And there's a suggestion that that moratorium should stay in place until more work is done in terms of making sure that police equipment is better decommissioned so that you couldn't really get a replica RCMP cruiser in the same way that apparently Gabriel Wortmann did. In terms of public reporting, there is a suggestion of taking another look at that problem as well. And what happened on the night was, you know, there was a public alerting system going to everybody's cell phone in place in Nova Scotia. It had been used in the past for weather issues. I think most Canadians have received those alerts on their phones. But the RCMP didn't use it until quite late in the rampage. And there's a real concern that it could have been more useful. You know, the commission finds that there are some issues with that alerting system and that more work should be done to improve it. But they also found that RCMP were reluctant to use it because of a fear that the public would panic, that there would be panic based on that public alert, and that there was no way to avoid that panic. The commission finds that that's a myth. It's apparently a very popular myth in police circles that the public can't handle information in these circumstances. But they said it's a myth, and that myth fundamentally, they said, has to change. And they suspect they want the RCMP to eradicate that myth from the force through training and other means.
How did the RCMP respond to all of this? I mean, some of the senior leadership who were around when this all happened and who some of the criticism was levied at are gone. So what do the new bosses say about what to do in these cases or what the recommendations in the report?
You know, right now, the RCMP, I would say, are not saying much other than they are committed to looking at these recommendations and studying them, all of them. Kind of shockingly, the new interim commissioner of the RCMP, in a press conference yesterday, admitted that he hadn't yet read the report. Now, it's a lengthy report, I should say. It's 1,000 pages, but there's an executive summary of about 300 pages, and the RCMP had had it for over 24 hours before it was released publicly. And he was very unprepared to address any of the recommendations. He was very unprepared to say even the smaller ones that related to how the RCMP acted that evening, as opposed to the broader ones like restructuring training, he couldn't even respond to any of those. You know, he said the RCMP has made changes since the night of the shooting. He pointed to the shooting in northern Saskatchewan, where he says they used, you know, public alerts and things like that, and he thinks they responded better. But I would say the RCMP were very unprepared to respond to this, despite having had it, again, for 24 hours.
Obviously, you know, there are political ramifications to all of this, to recommendations to changing the RCMP, and even, you know, relating to the concerns over whether there was political interference into the investigation. Was there any response from the Prime Minister or anyone at the federal government to this?
Yeah, the Prime Minister made a point of attending the release of the report in person yesterday. He was there when the commissioners, you know, released the report and gave a brief statement about what they saw. Both him, though, and the Public Safety Minister have said that they need time to digest all of these recommendations. There are over 100 different recommendations, many of them touching on things in federal jurisdiction, but not all. And he said they definitely need to work through them and look through them and decide, you know, which ones they can and cannot bring in. But there was definitely a commitment, I would say, from both the Prime Minister and the Public Safety Minister to look at these recommendations and that there are going to be changes. You know, I can't emphasize how much the deep structural changes that are being proposed here, you know, ending contract policing, drastically changing how officers are trained, things like that, those will have big ramifications if the government decides to go through with them. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they decide to take on such a big job of fundamentally altering the RCMP.
Is there a timeline for when the government or the RCMP need to respond to the recommendations?
You know, not formally. Like with any report like this, the RCMP and the government can just decide not to respond. But I would expect, you know, the commission is looking for a response relatively quickly. You know, they're calling for the governments of Nova Scotia and Ottawa to work together on responses. But I guess we'll only sort of time will tell whether or not we're going to see a quick response on this. I suspect we'll see something within the next few months. I think the government will probably start with some of the lower picking fruit before they start talking about overhauling the RCMP completely.
We'll see what the federal government has to say about this in the coming months and whether there will be sweeping changes coming to policing in this country. Ryan, thanks for your time.
No problem.
10-3 is produced by Tyler Dawson, theme music by Bryce Hall. Thanks to my guest Ryan Tumulty, more from him at nationalpost.com. I'm Dave Breckenridge. Thanks for listening.